Good morning. Just a minute. Ah, there you all are. Great to see everyone. A warm welcome, a real warm welcome to everyone to our church this morning. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. We had a little wedding in here yesterday. Well, it wasn't a little wedding, it was quite a big wedding. There was over 200 people in here. It was scheduled for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The bride didn't turn up till 4:15. And it was sweltering hot in here. And I was in my black Johnny Cash outfit. And I thought, not today. Here I am. I kind of had a feeling that my elder this morning would be dressed in similar fashion. So here we are. Good to see everyone. It's great to be here. I got a little letter here that we received during the week, and it's from Wainfleet Congregational Christian Church. Each week when Michelle does the bulletin, she usually puts in a little in the prayer calendar one of the congregational churches that we pray for. And quite often we get letters back from the churches that we pray for because Michelle sends out a copy of the bulletin to them, and sometimes they respond. And this is a nice little letter from Wainfleet. It's, Dear Pastor Ian and friends, on behalf of the congregation of Wainfleet Congregational Christian Church, we would like to thank you for your letter, which we received on Friday, June the 22nd. We would like to thank you for your prayers, which are greatly appreciated. And there's another little bit of stuff that you're not interested in. But that's nice. They are responding and they appreciate your prayers for them. And that's great. No greater service can you give them than to do that, to pray for people. And good for you. So that's a response to that. And that's enough of me. I'll hand you now over to Robert. Thank you, Bob.
Good morning. The announcements this morning is thank you to all who supported the church service on Canada Day in the big tent. Our church was well represented. Vacation Bible School is July 16th to 19th, 2012, and is entitled Welcome to Winnicksville. Stories about Max Lucardo's Winnick's character. Please check the list of requirements in the foyer and see how you can help. To get involved, talk to Chelsea or Sharon. Church audio visual system, if you would like to help in running our AV system for your worship service, please talk to Grant or Ian. Next Sunday, July 15th, family worship at 10 a.m. Reminder, the Yaha Tinda weekend will now be in September, not next weekend. If you go there next weekend, you will be lonely. Sunday, July 22nd, VBS Sunday with Wimmett. Quip and quotes, adversity can make you better or bitter. Trouble never leaves you where it found you. Bidden or not bidden, God is present. And Grant, you would like to say a word or two?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we wrapped up the day 2 of the Ride to Conquer Cancer 2 weeks ago today, and I just wanted to express my gratitude and appreciation to the congregation. It's largely thanks to members of this congregation that I was able to reach my fundraising minimum. Personally, I raised just over $3,100, and the ride was a tremendous success once again this year. We had 1,854 riders participating, and we raised just over $8 million. So,
wow.
Thank you all so much. And if you still wish to make a contribution, The Alberta Cancer Foundation does not require you to wait till a certain time of year. Thanks again.
Thanks, Grant. That was great. What a great achievement to raise all that money. And we just, let it be part of our prayers that that money be used and successfully to find cures for the many different various kinds of cancer that people suffer from. Good job, Grant, and to each and every one of you. That was excellent. Are there any other announcements? Sharon, do you want to say anything about VBS? Well, come and talk to us. I believe it's coming up soon. Yeah, up here. This is a microphone. Talk here.
We're just, anybody who's involved, we're just having a 10-minute meeting right after church today, just to give you guys the heads up on what's going on. And that's all. And thank you for all the people who brought stuff. I see it all at the door. That looks good.
So anybody who'd like to get involved with VBS, it's a great fun week. And if you've got some time, then make yourself available. You will enjoy it personally. You'll gain a lot from it, as well as giving a lot for the children who are involved in it. So thanks, Sharon. Any other announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence.
Children praying, Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us hope, send us grace. Send us love, send us grace.
Well, good morning. I was looking for Grant when I came in this morning. It took me a long time to find him. He's all blend in with all the camouflage. Sorry, Ian, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, it's not your turn yet. I love having the worship team up here. They're so keen to get into things and enjoy the worship. It's great. Just briefly, our call to worship this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I am now going to get out of the way.
Okay, here we go. We're going to start out this morning with Days of Elijah.
These are days of the trials of God.
For our second chorus this morning, we're going to do 180 out of the Red Book, which is I Will Call Upon the Lord. And we're going to do it as a round. So, you guys, and like here, you're going to be on my team. Okay? Everybody else, you're going to be on Pat's team.
Team Pat.
Yeah. We got to beat Pat, so sing out. Well, I think our side won. Okay, so we're going to prepare our hearts for worship today with 163, Hosanna.
Big thank you to our worship team. They got our worship off in great fashion there. Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to the King of Kings. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we just come before you once again with humble and grateful hearts. Grateful, Lord, that you so richly bless our lives, and humble, Lord, because we realize that you are Almighty God. You are the creator of all things. You have created everything that we have around us, Lord, and you have created every single one of us. And you love us so much, Lord, you made us all individually, and that's just how you care for us. And so, as we come together to worship you, Lord, as we come in all humility, we pray that you will accept the praise, the honor, and the glory that we bring to your holy name. And we ask you, gracious Father, to look upon us with mercy, to open our hearts, to speak your precious words, that each of us may hear you, no matter how you speak to us this day. Bless us as we worship you, Lord, for we worship you in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Morning. The Old Testament reading is 2 Samuel 5, 1-5, 9-10. That's when David becomes king. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Please join me in the responsive reading, Psalm 48, 8-14. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever.
Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your grace reaches the ends of the earth. Your right hand.
Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments.
Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers.
Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels that you may tell of them to the next generation.
For this God
is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. And now we're very happy to have our worship team come up again and lead us in our worship with special music. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually not the worship team, it's me. So.
Correction. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the song I chose today, I have to change my glasses, we've sang it before, but... A couple, two weekends ago or so, Kathy and I went to this conducting course and stuff, and I was quite anxious about it, and anxious and restless, of course, and then come here, and Ian's sermon is Be Still and Know That I Am God, and I'm like, yeah, thanks. So, you know, that was awesome, and then, so I really tried that, to be still, and it worked. And then this morning, I'm getting in the vehicle, and then we sang a song there, and it was Be Still My Soul. And I was like, wow, this Be Still thing is really, yeah. And then this morning, I get in the vehicle to drive to church, and Chris Tomlin's song comes on, Be Still, I Am the Healer, and so I think, okay, I'm getting the message. So this is in response to being still.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, I'll see glory. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, I'll see your
We thank you for that part, and we are glad that God inspired and guided you and directed you to sing it. It's a good job, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for you, for your grace, and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring to you our gifts. They are humble tokens of our gratitude, Lord, but we ask you to accept the gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers, and we ask you, Lord, to perform mighty deeds with them. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Would the children like to come and join me, please?
I was going to ask you, excuse me, if you noticed anything different about me today. Sorry?
You didn't have a walking stick to walk, you have an umbrella to walk.
So what's this?
It's an umbrella, it's not a walking stick.
Well, that doesn't matter. It's still something different about me, isn't it? Why do you think I've got an umbrella? Is it raining? Does it look like rain?
Yeah, it's blue.
So why do you think I've got an umbrella?
It's hot.
Eh?
It's hot out. It's hot out.
I know it's hot. So why have I got an umbrella?
So that we don't get hot.
That would be a good idea. But I'll tell you why I've got an umbrella. It tells you in the Bible here that if a person who's really, really good, what the Bible calls a righteous person, a person who's really, really good, and if they need something really, really desperately, and God thinks that they need it, and they ask God for it, and they believe that God will really give it to them, God will give it to them. So why do you think I've got an umbrella?
Because you want it to be.
No, not me. But somebody might.
God.
And I'm taking precautions.
God.
There might be somebody who's really, really good and like that with God, and they need rain desperately, and they may be asking God for rain, so I'm ready. Hey, I'm ready. There you go. So,
I know
of some people who pray to God for rain, and they go out without an umbrella.
They get wet.
That's right, it's the wrong fault, isn't it? They should have more faith in God. They should believe that God's going to give them what they ask for, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they? Who really thinks that God has the power to make it rain? Anybody else? Yeah! Because this is God's world, isn't it? God can do absolutely anything. God has the power to make it rain. But do you know that we have the power to stop God from performing miracles? Did you know that?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you something out of the Bible. Where did Jesus come from? Jesus of Nazareth. Heaven, that's right. Jesus of Nazareth. He comes from Nazareth. So one day, Jesus went to Nazareth. Because Jesus was a teacher, he went into the church to preach. And because he comes from Nazareth, everybody knew who he was. And they looked at him, the people looked at Jesus up in that pulpit there, up there, and they said, who does he think he is? Where does he think he gets all of this wisdom from and all of these magic miracles that they've heard about? Isn't it Mary's son? Isn't he a carpenter? And they scoffed at him. And they did not believe that Jesus was as powerful and as good as he was. And the Bible tells us, because they did not believe in him, Jesus could not perform any miracles there. Can you believe that? People have the power to stop God from performing miracles. But we also have the power to do what? To ask God to do miracles. And you know when Jesus prayed to God, Jesus prayed to God, nevertheless, it's not what I want you to do, Lord. It's what you need to do. And that's what we have to remember. We have to pray to God, and we've got to believe that God will answer our prayers, okay? And then we say, but not what I want, Lord, it's what you want, okay? Can you remember that? So that's why I had my umbrella today. So let's say a little prayer together. All together, eyes closed, hands together, we pray. Father, we say we believe, but sometimes our actions don't show it. Help us to show our faith, Lord, by our actions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Kathy, you're on.
No, I had a very job.
You want a hand?
I just need to unburden myself of jumping. Okay, what song should I sing?
Next time Kathy does that, she's going to invite everybody to join in. Wouldn't that be great? Bubbling with Kathy in church. Here we go. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God a hymn, which is from the old red hymn book that we used to use a few years back. And it's number 16 in that old red hymn book. And it is entitled, God Reveals His Presence. We stand and sing to God's glory.
Let us now adore Him, and with all.
Let me tell you, it is a great delight to stand up here in the midst of these people singing. It is delightful to hear them. And if you want to participate in that, you know how you can do that. You join them. They sing beautifully. And when you're right in the middle here and you hear those harmonies, it's, well, it's like being in heaven. It's an angelic choir. Thank you. Beautiful. Appreciate it so, so very much. Thank you so much. We come to our time of prayer. Question, do you know anybody who's in the need of prayer? Sure you do. It seems to me that as the weeks go by that we hear of more and more and more of our people, our church family, our own families, our friends and acquaintances who are standing in the need of prayer. And you know who they are. The Lord has placed them upon your heart.
Experience the Enbridge.
The spirits are moving. Stand by. But you know what I'm saying here, that God has placed people on your hearts to pray for. And when we pray for people, and when we really believe that God is going to respond to our prayers, then he actually will, and he does. And sometimes it's the way we ask for, and sometimes it isn't. And so we add on to all of our prayers, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And whatever the outcome, God will provide the grace to that person for whom you are praying to cope in the situation that they are in. You can be guaranteed of that. So let us now bow our heads and come together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and our wonderful and loving Father, we thank you for the surprises that you spring upon us. You take what often appears to be very ordinary and unlovely, and you cherish these things, Lord. You take the ordinary and what people consider to be mediocre, and you make them gifted. You take ordinary people who are frequently considered to be nobody, and with them, Lord, you move mountains. You entrust us, Lord, with tasks which are so frequently way beyond our own strength and capabilities. And very often, Lord, though we are reluctant, under your patient care, we discover again that all things are possible to those who love you and are called to your service. And so we ask you again to surprise us again, Father, with our Saviour and our Lord Jesus, who really believes in us. And surprise us also with your grace, which is made perfect in human weakness. Fill our lives, Lord, with your grace, that we may join with St. Paul in saying that we are content, even with our weaknesses, for your sake. Teach us again that it is when we allow ourselves to be empowered by you, Lord, by your Spirit, that is only then that we become really strong. And teach us again these things, Lord, when in the silence here and in the beauty of holiness, we now bring before you our prayers, the concerns of our hearts, and we whisper the names, Lord, of those people whom you have placed upon our hearts. Hear our whispered names, Lord, and reach out and touch these lives right now. We pray in silence. Heavenly Father, at this time of the year, the national conference of our own congregational churches come together and they meet. And we pray, gracious Father, that as they meet, they may meet in the knowledge that they are your church, that they are your people. And we pray, Lord, that as they meet, that they may be inspired by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, and that you, Lord, will teach them and guide them along the path that you would have your church to go. And we thank you, Lord, for our national church. We thank you, Lord, for our own church family right here as we gather together to worship you. And we pray, Lord, for every home and every family represented here. We pray, Father, in the week ahead that you will bless our homes, that you will watch over our families, and that you will use each and every one of us, Lord, to be channels of your blessing to all whom we meet. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of our friends, for those sitting right next to us right now, for those who are around us, behind us, in front of us, in this same room as we are. And we pray especially, Lord, for those who are not here today. Wherever they may be, Lord, we pray that they may know that we are praying for them. And we pray that they may also know, Lord, that they are touched by the grace and by the peace of your presence. Lord, let our wisdom be you. Let our hope be you. Let our strength be you. Help us to accept our weaknesses, that we may find your strength, and our foolishness, that we may find your wisdom, and our own sinfulness, that we may find and accept your grace. Gracious Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning again. Our gospel is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions: "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And our epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians 12, 2-10. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thanks to Howard for those readings from the scriptures. We stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 441, Take Time to Be Holy. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A college recruiter interviewed a high school basketball star, and the recruiter said to the guy, I hear that you are pretty good. The best there is, the player replied. I averaged 45 points per game. I was the best rebounder in my high school. And I led our team to 3 undefeated seasons and 3 provincial championships. That's incredible, said the recruiter. Tell me, do you have any weaknesses? Well, the young fellow replied a little bit sheepishly, I do have a tendency to exaggerate. We all have weaknesses. You don't have to put your hand up. We all have weaknesses. There are no perfect tens in this world. Now that may be a difficult thing for many of us to admit or to accept. For example, it is said that 90% of men rank themselves above average in athletic ability. Right, guys? Right on. Men sometimes exaggerate. I want to read you again the beginning of the epistle reading that Howard read to us from 2 Corinthians 12. Now, just prior to this part of Paul's letter, he had been writing about boasting, people boasting. And then he says something here which seems strange. It seems to me to be very strange. See what you make of it. This is what Paul says. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. So Paul seems to be telling us about an incident that happened 14 years previously to a man who was transported up to the third heaven. The third heaven is where God lives. The first heaven was considered to be the atmosphere where the birds fly around. The second heaven, where the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets are. And then the third heaven, where God is. So this man, by some means or other, is transported to heaven, to God's heaven. And he carries on. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Do you all get that? Did you, everybody get that? What on earth is he talking about? What's Paul going on about here? Well, it's connected to boasting and exaggeration. Boasting and exaggeration. The little problem that we mentioned that some people seem to have. And it seems that the congregation at Corinth, the Corinthians, had this problem. Some of the people there began telling others about their own mystical experiences and their visions. And every time they told their stories, they embellished them to make themselves look better, to make themselves sound more important than they really were. And soon these people began to think very highly of themselves because of their somewhat or their very exaggerated experiences that they were talking about. And as more and more told better and better stories, they began to think that everyone had to have some kind of a dramatic religious experience to qualify to be a Christian. If you hadn't experienced something like this, whoa, sorry, you're not good enough, you're not in. And they even began asking questions about the Apostle Paul. How come he never speaks about any dramatic personal experiences? Is he really someone to look up to? Is he really qualified to be part of our inner Christian circle? And there were around those Corinthian leaders who proclaimed themselves to be better than Paul because of their superior experiences. And so you can see things in Corinth were going too far. So Paul tells them about this incident of this man, a man in Christ who is transported to heaven. Well, as you read this passage of scripture, it becomes clearer later on in the passage that Paul is actually talking about himself here. But he modestly presented this as the experience of somebody else, a man in Christ, a third party. Paul had already made reference in verse 4 of the inexpressible things and things that no one is permitted to tell. No one can talk about these things. So in essence, what Paul is saying to them is that he could, if he wanted to, he could play the same game as them. But his overriding concern is for the unity and for the strength of the congregation. Not to be boasting about his amazing experiences. That's not what it's about. Paul knew that boasting about spiritual superiority does not build up faith in others. It does not lead other people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all it does is it creates divisions. It drives people apart. The golf course was crowded. It was a pleasant morning. And Bob was standing in front of the tee box preparing his swing at the ball. And like all we athletic men, he visualized hitting a beautiful shot that would carry for hundreds of yards. We've all been there, guys, haven't we? We've been with him. And as he stood there, a little lost in his thoughts, a loud announcement came over the public address system, and it said, "Will the gentleman standing on the women's tee box please back up to the men's tee?" Bob ignored this announcement. Of course, it wasn't him. And he continued with his pre-shot routine. You like that? Again, the announcement came on the PA system. "Would the gentleman standing at the ladies' tee box please back up to the men's tee?" And by now, to Bob, this seemed incredibly rude, particularly as he was now getting the impression that this was aimed at him. So he turned towards the clubhouse and he shouted out, "Would the announcer in the clubhouse kindly shut up and let me play my second shot?" Now, that was obviously not turning out to be a great day for Bob. And I think all of us have those kind of days, don't we, when things just go wrong and everything's a mess, and you know, and you just feel so helpless on a day like that. And these things happened to Paul. Paul was just an ordinary guy like we are. The same kind of things happened to him, and it happened to Jesus as well, long before he went to the cross. And so after Jesus' ministry began, of course he goes home to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath, being a rabbi, he went to the synagogue to teach. And the people, we are told, were astonished at his wisdom and his miracles, which they had obviously heard about. But their attitude was one that we've already mentioned here. Who does he think he is? He's just a local lad. He's no better than we are. It's Mary's boy. He's just a carpenter. And the citizens of Nazareth, we are told, were offended. They were offended by him, offended that Jesus should presume to preach to them. And the Bible tells us that Jesus could not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. That's incredible. Jesus, the Lord God, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, could not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. Sometimes, like Jesus, we are not able to help other people. And no doubt St. Paul frequently experienced this kind of a situation in his ministry. And Paul says something else strange. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me." Now, just what this thorn was, we don't know. We're never going to know. How big was it? We don't know. The word that translates as thorn also translates as stake. Not the stake that you get off the barbecue, but the stake that you drive through the vampire's heart. That kind of a stake. You know, great big stake. So whatever it is going on with Paul, it's obviously something painful. It's something that he wants rid of. And there's been all kinds of speculation as to what it might be, but it's only speculation. Epilepsy, migraine, headaches, a bad back, a sore leg, a skin disease, arthritis, depression, anxiety, a difficult friend, even a troubled child around. All of these kind of things are thorns. They are things that irritate us. They are things that cause us pain and suffering. And I'm almost certain that you have thorns in your flesh, in your life right now. You have thorns. And three times Paul asks God that this might be removed. And God answered Paul's prayer by telling him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." The grace of God in your life is far greater than any torment that Satan may inflict upon you or bring your way. And God's power, remember, requires faith to make miracles happen. God's power requires faith to make miracles happen. And God also said to Paul, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. To the worldly wise, to those who are what we call of the world, this is absolute nonsense. Power and strength are idolized by the world, and weaknesses are despised. The world teaches us to control our weaknesses, to hide our weaknesses, or you will get hurt. You will be taken advantage of. And the worldly wise teach you that you can do all things in your own strength. You can do it. You don't need anybody else to help you. But Paul discovered that God, Almighty and all-powerful God, can even use weaknesses as well as strengths to proclaim his mighty word to the world. Do not try to present yourself as something that you are not. Do not become a hypocrite. And what God is saying is, you be who you are. You be who you are. And if some people see you as weakness, I will use that as a strength. I will use you just as you are. What's that old hymn we sing? Just as I am, just as I am. And that's how God will take you, and that's how he'll use you. If you think about it, every recovering addict, no matter what addiction that they are recovering from, they will confirm that it is only when they admit that they have a problem, they need help, it's only then when they begin the recovery process. It's only when we want to be helped that we can be helped. It's only when we really want a miracle and we believe that we can have a miracle that we will get a miracle. We've got to have faith. We've got to believe. And it is only then when God can work miracles. We do need to reach out to God for help. And God, through the power and the might of his Spirit, will hear your prayer. And he will provide for his servants. God, remember, does not inflict hardships or suffering upon anyone. What was that thorn that Paul had? It was a messenger from Satan. A messenger from Satan. And the thorns in your life are messengers from Satan. They are not from God. It is Satan who torments you. And when we believe, and when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is then that he is able to work the miracle that turns our adversities around and turns them into strengths to become his strengths. For we know for certain that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And this is the word of the Lord, and upon this we can be absolutely certain. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so for our closing hymns today, first of all, we are going to stand and we're going to sing to his glory. The hymn number 56, Day by Day. We stand. To be God's people.
Jesus. Amen.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.
The congregation just quickly before we close, especially on the heels of that sermon. For probably about 2.5-3 years now, majority of the congregation through the prayer calendar and whatever has been praying for my nephew Ryan, and then more recently my nephew Tyler. The medical people, if you wanted to look up really what they were concerned about, it was called X-linked juvenile retinoschisis. My nephew Ryan lost an eye about a year and a half ago through a bunch of retinal detachments, which were unfounded. It wasn't a blow to the head or anything. It was just random. And so our family took that in stride and just kind of thought, it's just one of those things. But about 6 months ago, his last checkup showed the other eye looked fine, and then about 3 months ago, it didn't look fine. There was some more abnormal blood vessels on his only eye, or his good eye. And then my other nephew, which is his brother, they found abnormal blood vessels on both of his eyes. So my brother went for some testing, because X-linked means that it could affect the boy and then his girls and whatnot. They didn't find anything, and this past week, my sister, who actually was married in this church too, took the boys and her husband and whatnot to Edmonton to see a genetic specialist, and they were up there all week for tests, and they just got confirmation that it is not that condition. So thanks be to God. There's still some concerns with what is causing these abnormal blood vessels, but I just really want to thank the congregation to continue to hold them in your prayers. But after the pastoral prayer today, you know, we all have people on our hearts that, you know, we pray for, praying for Di's brother right now that's really quite ill. But I also prayed today for thanks to God that it wasn't something bad. So at times in the pastoral prayer, we should give thanks to, you know, for the things that, you know, the grace that does come from the Lord. So thanks, everybody. I just wanted to give you that update, because lots of people ask me, how's Ryan doing? How's Tyler doing? What's going on? So that's the latest update. It is not. And if it had have been that X-linked retinal juvenile species or whatever, they would have gone blind, both of them, eventually. So, you know, thanks be to God that it is not that. Thanks, everybody.